Blog Talk Radio.
I met this girl. She's just great. This girl I just adore. The problem is, she has much more than I had bargained for. She's got style. She's got the smile. She's got the walk. She's got the talk. She's got that zing. There's just one thing. She's got a penis.
Okay.
She's got that flair. Knows what to wear. She's got that face. That girl is great. She's got pizzazz. Too bad she has a penis. Now there's always some failure, always some flaw. Ain't that what they call Murphy's Law? But male genitalia, that's where I draw the line. Besides, hers is bigger than mine. My life's a mess, cause under that dress, she's got a P-E-N-I-S. Yes.
All right, okay. Larry Williams, and he said this song goes real good in this in 2021, and he's right.
That song could probably fit, you know. I think it's a wrong. I would play that, but I would say that would go along with the IUAW and its members.
Well, you just broke up about half of that, but that's fine. We're going to get you a job where you can afford a goddamn phone. That's what we're going to do. You get off your ass and get some. Let me go back to the switchboard so I can see if anybody. Oh, damn it. Anyway, thank you, Larry Williams, Local 600. Let me get Adrian on. Adrian, you're on.
Good evening. How's everyone?
Good evening. We do have three and Scotty here, but Scotty's afraid to talk.
No,
I'm not.
Let's say hello.
No, I'm not. Well, I said hello. You didn't hear me. I'm doing well.
No, because your 45-cent goddamn phone from Walmart doesn't work at the time. Cheap brick. Don't give me no shit. Push one on your teeth that you'd like to get on because Scotty is pissing me off, so I need help here. Jimmy, I'm getting you on right now. Help me out, Jimmy. Jesus
Scott,
Christ.
I told you to get the dollar phone, not the 45-cent phone. What the?
There you go, Jimmy. Tell him, Jimmy.
I know. Gene wanted him to go for the fucking... Gene told him to get the buck and a half.
Yeah, go all the way for it. You're working 70 hours a week, you cheap prick.
No, I'm not. Anyway,
how's Scott tonight?
All right, so on a serious note, all right, this one asked if we were going to ask Gary Wolfowitz to come on the show. I don't want to have my personal feelings hit.
Okay, somebody's making noise, Scotty. Hang on. Everybody, you got to be quiet or mute your phone, please. Scotty, go ahead.
Walkowitz is coming out of the woodwork again. I shouldn't say that. Gary Walkowitz is coming forward again. And is concerned with the one member, one vote. Okay, so... I don't want my history past of what I know about Gary Wolfowitz thing and he's done to influence my thought on this right now. So what I need is for somebody like Adrian or Don or Jim, what do you guys think about Gary Wolfowitz and what he's trying to do right now? That's all I'm going
to ask. You got to tell me what he's trying to do, Scotty. We're not mind readers. What is he trying to do?
I just said he's coming out with the... He's coming out...
Yeah, he's coming out
with the one member, one vote.
Is he for it?
I'm sorry.
What's the deal with it?
Scott.
Jesus.
Scott, just read it, because that's probably about the easiest way to get take care of Don's needs.
Thank you.
Oh,
another piece. I already know. I already know, but there's a lot of... Where the hell's my microphone?
Let me see here.
Great.
And I didn't mean to throw everything into an uproar right before the show. I just...
Fine. You're fine.
But,
No. That ain't it.
I just don't like that.
The beginning of it. I'm still scrolling. We need to make the UAW a fighting union. In a few months, UAW members will be voting whether to change the process by which to elect our top leadership. The UAW Constitution has always called for the president and international executive boards to be chosen at the Constitutional Convention by delegates in each local, part of the consent decree mandated by the federal government. The UAW will conduct a referendum on whether to continue this process to change one member, one vote. Will the UAW revoke directly to the top leadership? Why does the UAW have delegates elect top leadership? If we look back at the early days of the UAW, and we understand how the delegates work and how this corruption works. They said that I'm going to go ahead and skip a little bit here.
Okay, brother.
Just history. All right, it says the workers who started the UAW decided the best way to organize a fight would be to have members at every local elect delegates and then bring them together at the UAW convention. The delegates would speak for what the members wanted. At the conventions, the delegates discussed, debated, and decided on the direction for the union.
Right.
When the delegates elected the top leadership, that leadership reflected what the members wanted. That was when the UAW was the most democratic and most militant. I know that UAW members have opinions about our top leadership today. Many members are angry about the top union leaders recently pled guilty to putting money in their own pockets or using union dues to take privilege themselves. We should be angry. The leaders betrayed our trust. We should not tolerate any corruption in our union. But the biggest problem I see in our union leadership is not the corruption of some individuals. The biggest problem is the policies of the top leadership. During my years at UAW, I've always fought for a change in the direction for our union. I ran for, and this is where he's got to say, hey, look, I ran for president, and I'm going to skip this part, right? Sorry. He said the only way we can defend our rights and defend our standard of living is to organize a fight against corporations. That is the reason why unions were organized in the first place. A fight is never easy, but if we are not ready to fight, I believe we will continue to be pushed backwards. Whatever the UAW members decide in the referendum does not change that reality, whether we continue to elect delegates or vote directly for the top leadership. The problem does not change. We need a union that is ready to fight. I hope the UAW members will use this referendum as a chance to discuss and decide not just how our top leadership is elected, but more importantly, what kind of direction we want our union. We can't just think that voting for a union president is enough. A change in direction the UAW has come to the membership. If we want a union that is ready to make a fight, it's up to us to make it happen. And that was from Gary Walkowitz. So Gary is interested in running for president of the UAW if we have a referendum vote. There was two things. He's talking about the good for the union and then a pitch for himself, too.
Okay. I didn't.
Can retirees run for president?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, they can.
Oh, okay. And I didn't see that. I didn't take it that way when I read it. So maybe I guess I was a little bit off on that.
What's Gary's age right now?
102.
What difference does it make?
Ask me about
There's no age limit.
In my humble opinion, Brother Walkowitz has only been used as maybe a little bit above a pawn, you might say a rook. He's been used to divide the membership's vote when things got close to changing our membership in the International, I personally believe that man used his vote to divide the people fighting it. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm done.
You're done.
Hey, where was Walkowitz 2 contracts ago?
I don't know.
He couldn't even get somebody to nominate him, if you remember correctly. That's how big that man really is now.
Oh, wow.
I can say one thing about Gary Walkowitz that's positive. When Ford came to us on the Rouge to vote for a concession to not strike, for a not strike vote, Gary Walkowitz put out a letter on the Rouge, and the vote was no, that we would not give up our right to strike. That carried throughout. Ford Motor Company could always strike, even when GM and Chrysler couldn't.
Right.
That's the one positive thing that I could say about Gary.
Right. Somebody's making a lot of noise. Please mute your phone if you're doing something. I appreciate it.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You said
tried to run for president last time. If you remember correctly, at the convention, he had nobody there that could nominate him.
Yeah, I think I heard that too. I think
and
so.
He asked Brother Keller to use his man to nominate him instead of Brother Keller, if you want to know the facts of history. And if I'm wrong, I think Brother Keller would tell you I'm right. If I am not right, I'm sure it was real close to that game in tune.
I believe I heard
I'm going to tell you that that's the wrong person.
What's the wrong person?
Gary Walkowitz did not go to Brother Keller.
I don't know.
Somebody's
making a hell of a lot of noise. I wish they would mute their phone. By the way, Miss Carey. Miss Carey.
Sorry, you're wrapping Christmas presents.
Yes.
Hello, dear.
Yes. Hi. Hello. Hi, everybody. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Carey.
Hi. Hello.
Okay,
yeah,
everybody got their hellos in.
Hey, hello to all
hello,
the people
hello,
out there,
hello.
My brothers and sisters out there listening. I know Gary.
What do you think about him?
Well, I know that when I was helping my union sister out, trying to get her job back, I made several phone calls to him, and he answered one, told me he would get back to me, and never did.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I know of Gary. I think he runs for a lot. He just don't run for offices in the – wasn't just running for offices in the UAW. He's always ran for some public office, too. Some, you know, I know he's done that, too.
Right.
I never was impressed by him. I think he sat on the fence with a lot of stuff that went with the flow, because there's a lot of things that went on day shift and every other shift, and him being one of the senior reps, there's a lot of messed up things at Dearborn Truck that never got resolved. And I know he's just one person, but I know he had the chairman's ear. So that's my opinion.
Could you tell us, what was Gary a bargaining rep or just a rep?
He was bargaining.
For trades.
I don't think for trades.
Hmm.
You sure? Because I'm pretty sure Gary only did trades.
I don't remember the trade part. I mean, I could be wrong, but... No,
Yeah, I don't think you have, at that local, at that level, I don't think you have a president in the union just for the trades. I think it's the president over Local 600 and as a whole. And I don't know if Ford's president is allowed to be part of the bargaining committee.
Back then, you were only part of the bargaining committee on the, as a president. It was almost like it was right before the third step. They called it the key four. The chairman and the president went in a room with the plant manager and the person over or a, the person over labor or a labor relations rep. That was before anything proceeded to the third step. But
right.
Now, I think they've taken the, I honestly believe they've taken GM, I know they've taken the president out of that picture, and for some reason they inserted the servicing rep, which then picks up the dirty paperwork at the third step. That's why I said it's a violation, if you remember right, because every time that grievance goes up a step, it's supposed to be coming into what they claim are clean hands. And by doing it this way, they're not.
Right. I mean, I'm all about giving everybody a fair shake. I am. I'm just saying I can remember instances in the past where Gary Walkwith has come out bumping his chest and coming out with thunder and lightning and doing really good, and then you come back in the back, you know, 6 weeks later, and he's changed his story or it's something completely different or he's dropped the ball on something. It's like,
I don't agree with you on that.
He sits on the post a lot, Scott.
I'm going to get John right. Brian, I think this is Brian, if I recognize the phone call, the phone number.
It is.
Hey, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
hey,
sir.
How are you guys doing? I'm
Thank
in my
you,
car,
DK.
So if you get any back noise, forgive me for it. But
okay.
Anyways, you know, Gary Walkwith, like Scott was saying, you know, when it came to the last convention, we tried to get us all to combine slates so we can take this caucus out, and he refused to do it. So, I mean, all these years of him holding a position, but I you know, personally, I've never seen him speak out against a concessionary agreement or anything. I haven't seen Gary Walkwith do nothing but repeat himself running against the caucus there at the convention, which kind of make me believe that him and Scott Holison could be possibly paid opposition. I don't know. I just know they haven't done jack to change nothing, and they're just kind of going through the same fundamentals, repeating themselves over and over again, doing the same steps, expecting a different outcome. It just don't make sense to me. And I have not seen Walkwith, I haven't seen Scott, I have them not seen them do anything. When they're told to shut down, they shut down. So, I mean, personally, I wouldn't put any support between them or the UAWD. And my thing is, when we look back at these concessionary contracts and the job losses and the fact that the leadership that we have now for the last 40-something years has been intertwined with the very companies that we work for. And I think it's time enough that, you know, the membership support the one member, one vote. Because no matter what, there are some people like Gary that, you know, might feel that the one member, one vote will not make a huge difference, that it's kind of the same thing. But I think it's hard to manipulate 400,000 union members versus how many delegates.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can't, you're not going to be able to bribe 400,000 union members like you can the delegates. You're not going to be able to wine and dine them. You're not going to be able to put a target on them, and you're not going to be able to threaten them.
Correct.
So I think the one member, one vote is the way to go. I think it's no different than how we vote for our elected officials on a local level.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the membership will support it because, I mean, last 42 years, we ain't been, whether it was me, it was Gary Walkwith, it was Leroy McKnight, It was Scott Holderson. Everything that every single one of us have done so far has failed.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I even, you know, even with the class action lawsuit and the complaint with the National Labor Relations Board, even though it's no fault to myself that the legal system did not support labor, knowing that we do have a case, but they're trying to bullshit us because, you know, they get their campaign dollars from these special interests and lobbyists. And their interests are with these companies, not with us, labor. So they're protecting the leadership and they're protecting Chrysler, but they're not doing nothing for labor. And we're the ones that got screwed. So, I mean, my thing is we tried everything we could possibly try, but when it came down to getting with Wachowicz, Gary Wachowicz, he refused to work together with the rest of us in combined slate so we can get that caucus out.
We don't need that crap. And I tell you, I have an email. I'm sure I kept it because I kept almost every email that Dick Dangin have wrote me. He wrote about Mr. Wachowicz, and I can't even say his freaking name, so I can't vote for him. But Dick told me all about this dude, and I tell you right now, Brian, you're the man. I mean,
well,
we gotta,
I don't know how
long have we been pushing for one vote for these goddamn in these elections for years, for decades. And we got
a
chance right now for a chance to do it. We got to change it. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Brian, I'd like to say thanks for coming so quick. Also, I want everybody to think about this. Last week, there was an article in the paper that Brother Curry was quoted on. He openly admitted he's not working for the employees. He says, we're working with the employer. If that doesn't send up fire and flames and worries, people, if you're working with the employer, that means you're not having the employee's best flipping interest in mind. I don't know what kind of exhaust fumes they got in these plants right now, but even what they did to Local 2069 down with 17-vote bullshit. I mean, do you really want me to believe that these people came back and passed the vote by 17 votes? That is the exact same contract they turned down days earlier by 2/3 of the majority. Somewhere somebody needs to step in. Yes, the UAW and the International, it's their election. They run it. But somebody's got to be able to count these votes that doesn't have no interest in this. Because
these people are
flat out fabricating shit. End the subject. Take it away, folks. Drop the mic, James.
There you go.
One of the first things that needs to be changed is that if you are president, you don't work on a board. You don't run for a public office. The only job you have is working for the UAW.
Amen. You're right. You're goddamn right. You got it.
We don't need somebody that has their own agenda, special interest. That's not getting us nowhere. No, we just need you to do one job. That's it. One job. One job.
And I agree. That's got to be throughout the union. No more appointed positions. No people sitting on any company boards. No Viva board. No whatever board.
No.
They are strictly supposed to work for the membership, and that's it.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, that's when it comes down to where we're going to have to come through the Constitution, make the necessary constitutional amendments and bylaw changes, just so
Agreed.
We can make sure that these things don't happen again.
Well, we got an opportunity right now to make things different. And I'd like that people make sure their stuff is updated by the 28th so their ballot comes to them and they can voice their vote. So we have a chance to change this all around, or else we're going to stay like this. two-tiered system. We're going to keep losing things on contracts. They're going to, you know what, they're going to keep hitting us against each other during contracts. They're going to eventually, they did it to the two, you know, the, between the two-tiered and the in progression. All these titles, that's what are now, it's going to be who loses on every contract, whether it's the retirees, the legacies, the two-tier, the temp, or the in progression. So out of those five groups, one of them is always going to be on the losing end. They're going to play
well,
against
why we
each
get
every
rid
contract.
Of me and you have talked about this, honey. We got to get rid of the tiers all together. 90 days for one. We're one team. Get it through your head, people. We're one team after 90 days. Now we're strong motherfuckers, aren't we? Now we can stick it right up their tailpipe. Think about it. Quit arguing. Let's make something happen. Brian, tell me who it was a couple conventions ago that asked you to not get your man to nominate them for president. I can't remember. Was that Leroy?
Yeah, that was Leroy. Wanted to use Mike Delicate to nominate him. And my thing is, you came down to the damn convention and you thought you were prepared, but you forgot the one biggest thing you need was a delegate to nominate.
My bad, people. My bad, people. I thought that might have been Gary Wachowicz. I'm very sorry, people. It was Leroy McKnight.
No, Gary Wachowicz has Scott Holderson. Scott Holderson nominated Gary Wachowicz, what, the last three times, Adrian?
That's correct.
So.
Auto Caravan.
Yeah.
So Wachowicz was nominated at the last convention then, right?
Yes.
Yes. Leroy McKnight wasn't.
Yeah, you got somebody out of the Chicago plant backing somebody else up, because if you talk to some of us workers that come out of Gary's plant, he wasn't that special.
It says he came from skilled trade.
I'm just saying, it wasn't that special, him being any kind of rep.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't like he was a shining star up in there. I know. I'm out of that local.
A little joke between me and Adrian. He sounds like another hammer.
Yep.
Stop that cackling, girl.
Wow.
I'm still on bed rest, okay?
You guys are rough.
Like I said, the only real good thing that I know that Gary Wachowicz did on the roofs was to put a letter out to tell everybody to vote no, that we would not give up our rights to strike.
And that was a good thing. I remember that. He did that
a
couple different times.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I can remember that he was very good at.
Well, so my question is this then. Two contracts ago, when we had the most famous bucket brigade that we can remember, where was Gary Wachowicz when Jimmy Settles come in on the plant floor? Cricket.
The cabin was getting built up there, wasn't it?
What's that?
Wasn't that about the time the cabin was getting built? He's probably one of them guys up there building the cabin.
I don't know. All I'm saying
Williams is placed up there on the lake, the cabin.
No,
yeah, but
Gary couldn't have been there because Gary's unionized. They had unionized skilled trade.
That's right. They used scab labor to build that place.
Yes.
Which tells you how they believe about us. Just
that's correct.
Or how they support the tier system, people. Think about that. Another thing, I got a friend that's one of these in progressions, and the semiconductor thing or whatever you want to call it, this chip issue, has reset his clock, but they won't even tell him when it starts ticking again. That's terrible. That's terrible, people.
But these poor people, they got friends that go to other plants, and they get hired in right away. But depending on what plant you wind up getting hired in, you might not get hired in and stay at Temp forever. But if your friend hires into another plant, they got a high chance of getting hired in right away.
Right, right.
It doesn't make any sense.
They happen up here. We have to go through the line by line item, so to say, by the contract at our local. And you went over to Lansing Delta, and they were hiring people off the street right in. You know, you became in progression. You were tier two, but there was no
right.
temporary status.
Exactly.
Wow.
And that is a big complaint that I have seen at my local 600 is, you know, these young kids saying, well, wonder why we're not getting hired in. My brother hired in over at Michigan Truck or MAP, Michigan Assembly, and he's waiting all this temporary time. They're hiring him right in.
Right.
So you tell me what's wrong with the system here, because it don't
right.
make any sense.
Right, and I'm glad you brought that up, because Jimmy just brought up something that's going to highlight, that's going to come out of this, and people need to pay attention, is the temporary language. What happens if you're in and you're close to your year anniversary where they're going to make you a full-time temporary, which gets you to then become a tier two? If you lose any time, you're supposed to start over. What's happening to all these temporaries that were getting close? They're all going to have to start all over again, aren't they?
Well, none of the layoffs, none of the layoff time, and we've been having layoffs throughout this last year and this whole year.
According to the language, it was if you're laid off for 31 days, you start over 31 days.
Well, most people at Ford, they've already hit that requirement, haven't they?
No, because they're doing rollover layoffs.
I was going to say there's a break in there. I mean, they're off maybe a week or two at the most. That's
some
not
the,
31
some
days.
Some of the plants, right, but some of the plants have been down for 6 weeks.
Okay, maybe at the other plants. But, the truck plant's been doing rolling layoffs. My spring plant was doing rolling layoffs. I think MAP was doing rolling layoffs too. So as far as the other ones, like in Canada, I don't even know.
Kentucky,
I think they might just
Kentucky
be down.
Kentucky had people off. Kentucky had people over 6 weeks.
Right.
But even let's say it's a rolling layoff and there's a break-in period, right? You still have to have so many weeks to keep moving up pay-wise and position-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're never going to get to the next level if you don't have those weeks worth.
You start over. That's the whole point. This whole system.
Or you stay just where you're at.
This language around the temporaries in this last contract is draconian. I mean, it's ridiculous that anybody from international would have supported any kind of language that was supported. We know now why. No matter what the federal courts say and other people believe, they were heavily influenced.
Well, I agree 100% with that, because the language is crazy. And the whole system's crazy.
Who said it? Who said about Brother Curry?
Maybe
Brother Curry.
Maybe it was me because I was reading the article in the news over a couple of things. But another thing, think about this just in the Volvo agreement. For the workers, that you don't think this union knows how to use money to get shit? For the workers that hired in between 2011 and 2015 did benefit a little minute out of this last and final offer. But what really kicked in was the international gains, $190,000 a month and increased union dues with the raise to those folks hired in that time period. Trust me. And like Sheree says, right here, it says we're lifetime partners that work together. Management.
Wow. There you go. That is your
labor management partnership following the Volvo strike.
That is your sitting current international executive president of UAW. That is his statement.
That's disgusting.
In the Detroit News this week, people. Go buy your own damn copy. I pay for mine digitally, so they won't let me copy and paste shit.
Well, that pretty much sums it up, his own statement saying that he works for the company in management.
Now, you know,
I can remember when this COVID thing all came out, he was sitting with one of the high, it was a video, and he was sitting like in a, it looked like in a park or a backyard or some kind of wacky, in a chair next to one of the higher-ups of the company and saying, well, we're working with the company, yada, yada. And I just thought to myself, oh, my gosh, what a mess.
Yes, and then Gamble this last week, I believe, came out and made some kind of statement against one member, one vote, if I remember right.
I got a question for you, Scott. Ford was the last one that had the doorway where a Tier 2 could go home on Friday and come in Monday, and they had been promoted over the weekend with a beautiful raise to Tier 1 legacy worker status. That was shot to hell and voted down in the plant that decided that. Was that not Holderson's plant?
I'm not sure which locals. I'm not going to lie to you. Was it the last plant? Because usually they go to Dearborn Truck plant was always the last plant because that was the one, I'm sorry, was the one that was easiest, the most, they get the most the way they needed it.
Yeah, that's probably why they had the bucket brigade there because it's right next door, you know, how they don't even.
But, In train of thought with where you're at, look, you're always, I don't care who you're going to deal with, you're always going to want to go Chicago, Kentucky, down there in Ohio, and then, of course, Dearborn. Now, you're going to hit Detroit area. You know what I mean? Highest concentrations, you know. General Motors, Flint Assembly has over 10% of the UAW represented workforce in one local.
Well, we used to have all of GM in Flint when we Buick City and all of us were together, Chevy and the whole AC. Flint was General Motors, but you see what General Motors did to their strong union town. They destroyed it. They found some corrupt thugs. I mean, look at the felon list. Most of them are from Genesee County.
Yep. And that's sad. It is. Doesn't change the history of it, but we need to learn from the history of it. Okay, we need to step back and reflect. Okay, what do we need to do different? Well, it is, and we've been saying this before. Gary even said this. We've been saying this a long time ago when Danjen was still on the show. Don't send anybody elected off the floor as a constitutional convention.
Here, here.
We've been talking about
also
constitutional delegates.
Also, take control of your locals right there. If you do that, send a newbie to the convention, trust us, they ain't got enough Kool-Aid to get them off.
Right.
Right. This is a big battle, and people don't realize how important this is. And I'm being facetious when I say this, but I don't care if we elect Bozo the Clown as president of the UAW. At least you're not coming out of the administrative caucus. You know what I'm saying? Did I lose you guys?
No, I'm here. I just want to remind people. Until the members.
I agree with Scott Singens, what he's saying, we need to get fresh blood in there. I don't even want the janitor down there staying in office because, in my humble opinion, they all knew what's been going on for the last 40 years, and as long as they were getting a minute at the trough, a little bit of gravy, or a free weekend car wash, what the hell have you, they didn't give a shit about equality in the worker. They need to go.
Yeah, but I don't want people like Scott Holdison and all them and Gary Wachowicz in there neither. Because I think that's just going to be a repeat of history.
It could be. I'm not saying it's not going to be, but it could be. We don't know. All I know is we need somebody in there that's gonna have the membership at heart, not the corporation.
A fighter. We need a fighter in there, somebody who's got a backbone, who cares about the membership, that don't care just about themselves.
He's in his
okay.
car
that's
right
now. We need somebody in there that's that.
What's that?
First of all, you should never have one caucus in power for 70 years. There is something very wrong with that, that they feel that no one else should be allowed to be in the executive branch but that caucus.
I agree.
And
I agree.
The other part of it is that until this membership get off their asses and start reading that damn Constitution and holding people liable for that Constitution, you can forget it.
Hear, hear.
Because as I said before, everyone that's there currently should all be removed. Because they are not in the interest of the members. Anytime you have a president, the present one, come out and say what he got to do for the company. He works for the company. His ass needs to go because you don't work for the company. That's according to the Constitution. The Constitution has nothing in it about temps or tiers or in progression. Why is that?
Right. I got to go back. This is gonna be hard. I got to open up some sections. I got some cobwebs around them. If I remember right, it must have been 15 years ago. Danjen explained to me what the Reuther Caucus was and the purpose for it. He said that Walter wasn't always an angel, okay? And nobody is, not 100%. What Walter did was at that time, he needed to put people who were going to be loyal to him and to the cause for the union. And he solidified that by putting the people around that he did, thus creating the Reuther Caucus. Now, as you go forward in time, people maintain that, but they rebranded that Reuther Caucus and that purpose to that caucus because Walter Reuther did have power. And the president that comes to mind who manipulated that power to the highest level, and I think it's where it really, really starts, is with Stephen P. Jokic. You know what I'm saying?
Was Beaver before Jokic?
Yes, he was.
Yes.
He did some crap. Yeah, he did some crap.
Beaver started it. Yes, Beaver started the shit.
Yes.
About the bonuses.
He's the one that started
under
that.
Beaver, the Warren mid-80s came out, correct?
Yeah, that was 79-80. Yeah.
Right, that was Beaver.
Okay, so Beaver, if I'm right, in the early 80s, mid-80s, Owen Beaver single-handedly, if I remember Dan to tell me, single-handedly swiped off 50,000 UAW brothers and sisters jobs off the board, one cell shot. And then because that happened, that next contract, we had the jobs bank language. Because there was no way to get those brothers and sisters back under the situation in which it happened. So they had to change the contractual language. Oh, you hear that? They changed contractual language, the next contract.
That's when we also got extended area hire to divide them.
Yep. If you got laid off instead of 25 or 50 miles, it was 55 and 75. Then it became 75 and 100. And now it's regional area hire. And it goes in by groups. And people think we're joking about this. If you got laid off at, let's say, Fort Wayne, you could have a job offer at Arlington, Texas. And what happens if you turn that job offer down? You're done.
You're done.
30 days. In 30 days, your benefits cease. Because
volunteer to quit.
Because they offered you the job offer was presented to you, and you failed to accept that offer. You know, I mean, I don't know. Do you make an offer? And I'm not trying to be facetious. And I'm not trying to stir no shit or nothing. Do you put Walkwith and invite him on the show and Scott Holderson and say, what do you guys want out of this? Ask him point blank. What's in it for you? What's your direction on this? It's just a thought. Anybody?
I mean, the same thing could be said to me, right? I mean, because I'm running again.
It could be said to you, too. Hey, the way I look at it, you know, in the past, we always said that. If you're running for something, call on the show. You know, some people do. Some people don't. A lot of people don't. Why? Because there might be some tough questions you have to answer. And if you said it publicly and we got it on an archive show, we can always come back and say, on this date, you said that. On this date, you said
that. Right.
You know, hey, it's no different than other politicians.
For me, I've been pretty consistent over all the years.
Really? Because so much shit has changed from when I came into the union, we had at least one handbill a week telling you what the hell was going on by the shop committee. And then there was one or two from what they quote was the militant. I might have been on that list. They would put out something saying some shit they saw. But it kept everything out on the open on a playing field. When I was committee man, when I came time to rerun, I went around to some people, got permission to use their name, and put out there, I got this person paid for grievous violation and hours and some things that I had done that I thought was good to show my integrity. And I would put that handbill out and asking people to vote for me again. And you don't see that shit now. It's walk up, hey, this is my buddy John. He's my friend Joe. You know, he'll help you out along. You know, that shit don't work. That's why we're at where we're at right now. We keep sending the same idiot down there at the convention with the bullhorn, and they blow out the people that I really want to support. If I'm wrong, please don't.
Okay, guys. Hang on. We got another caller here. 989-752, you are on.
Greetings to you rabble-rousers.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
just ushering my son and my granddaughter out the door. So what's the hot topic tonight? Did we have yet another UAW president resign, or what's going on now?
No, we're just talking about it looks as though that Gary Wolkowitz is jockeying for position to be considered for president of the UAW again.
Oh.
That's one of them.
Oh, okay. Well, at least he knows how to write a work speed up grievance. Which is something we sorely need, rather than continuous improvement.
Not supporting one member, one vote in the way it sounds.
Oh, isn't? Oh, well, strange things happen.
No, he is supporting it.
Oh, he is. Well, I caught you, Jim. I think you were ragging about the fact that nobody talks about issues in the plant when they put out literature. Is that what you were saying? They just kind of give out a card that says vote for me?
Yes.
Well, nobody wants to take any stand on issues because they really, you know, most people really understand when you're running for office, you're running not against just the plant machinery, but also the regional director. You know, you don't dare take a position that will offend your regional director. You know, it's how spineless and our union has become.
Exactly.
I mean, we actually destroy true leadership in the UAW. Anybody has a mind of their own gets slapped up or, you know, targeted for elimination, basically. The machine goes after them.
That's why I told you I felt, Paul, I really feel honored that I got one of them coming to my wedding.
I think it's a good thing, Jim.
That's what I said. I feel honored.
Yeah.
Six days.
You show them that you're just really happy. they've done everything they can to mess up life, basically.
Been a pig in shit, brother, than a pig in shit.
Yeah. You're gaining a lovely flower for a wife, and you're just going to have a good time.
That's right.
And I'm blessed by, you know, a regional.
Yeah. It can hardly get any better for you.
Yeah. I thank that director. I said, please, by all means, come on up. I got chicken dinner for you, too.
Yeah, he was a good guy. It's just, you know, the thing is, it's hard to buck against the machinery.
You know? He was a damn good man.
Yeah, they'll get you. I'll try hard doing it.
Well, the thing is, you know, most people that get elected to union office, unless they're really somebody who really digs into what's going on, you know, they do have faith in our leaders, you know. And, you know, it's
right.
Like I've always said, they never really, the UAW never really sells us out. They just sell us short. You know, they're just not good poker players. They go for management's first offer, more or less.
Yeah. I'd like to know what that offer was that cost 40 days on a strike. I imagine it was the same thing you guys voted on, or they voted on.
Yeah.
It was. It was. We knew that.
I remember
that.
Down at Volvo, it was the same exact offer or contract they had turned down. Like I said, the only benefited people were the people hired in between 2011 and 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, because of the little pay increase they got in that time frame, the international will get $190,000 a month in increased union dues.
Wow.
Right.
Well, one thing you can say for them, they really do know how to fund a union.
Well,
Gary Jones was a great accountant. We already know that. Look at the Heckel Fund.
Yeah. They aren't real good at standing up and fighting and fighting to win. Let's put it that way.
Right. Got to make a change.
They fight against management about the same way we've fought our last few wars in Korea and Vietnam and Afghanistan. We don't fight to win. And the UAW doesn't really fight to win either.
Scott, I had a terrible thought. Remember how we had one of them that was on some special thing, make? I think it was Verdell King or something, was doing Christmas cards and got good time for it. What if they got Gary Jones in prison doing our accounting? That would be the highest.
Yeah. Gotta make fun of a serious situation, or it gets really overwhelming.
Yeah, you can get to the point where you give yourself a stroke over this stuff. You know, you still got to have a life. You know, and that's the thing. You can't let yourself get so consumed with it that it messes with your family life and all that stuff.
Right.
Right.
So I guess the question is real quick is we need to look at it this way real quick. One member, one vote. Okay. So we're going for a referendum. If it fails, we keep the status quo as it is. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And I could be wrong. This is just my opinion. But if you think the control that's dominated by the International Executive Board right now is something, it will double down. They'll make sure that this never, ever gets allowed to even come close to ever happening again.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you.
Okay. Now, let's go the other way. One member, one vote. Referendum does. We have elected a new president for the International Executive Board, for the UAW. That president coming in is going to have, like Kerry says, going to be a fighter. He's going to have to be a thinker. Definitely going to have the membership at heart. Not like we haven't had since Walter Reuther. We have not had a president who's had the members' interests at heart since Walter Reuther.
Yeah.
I think that's safe to say. Well, understand
I
when that...
Go ahead.
When that person comes in, and you're going to try to maybe start to clean up the house, and I think Paul and Jimmy, you guys all, Adrian, you all agree with this. When that person starts trying to find the stones to look under, don't think that legal personnel down there is going to help you flip over stones.
Yeah.
You're going to have to ask a specific question in a specific way to get an answer.
Well, we're still going to, even if we get one man, one vote, you got to look at the fact that the corrupt political machine is well organized. You know?
That's correct.
It's going to be hard to fight them. But what it's going to take is people who are willing to make some personal sacrifice. You know, if one thing I learned from Dave Yutaw is if you want anything for yourself, you won't be a good union rep. Either the union bureaucracy or management will find a way to manipulate or buy you.
Right.
It might be as simple as, my father worked at Eaton Foundry in Vassar, which it wasn't a UAW factory, but he had a very strong union. They had, at the time in the 60s, they were paid better than General Motors workers, but what they did, they had a highly effective union president. And management told them if he went over to their side, they would hire his son. So he left the union and joined management. So unless you have clear-cut goals and very strong religious or moral principles, they're going to get to you. And that's the problem with our union. What has destroyed the union is joint funds. There was no funds under joint funds under Walter Reuther. I mean, you got a problem when the management is funding a big share of union salaries.
Yeah.
I've never believed that the reps should be paid by the company. The reps on the floor. I've always believed that the UAW should be paying them because you can't serve two masters.
You're right. Jesus.
And that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, it's even worse when your international reps are being paid by management through joint funds. Because they're setting the framework under which your local leaders have to function.
Yeah. It's a thought. You know, how many years have we done that?
Well, how many times have your local leaders gone out on the floor and sold a bad contract to you? Then it bites you in the rear end.
A lot.
When you start to understand what that contract really means. A contract's more than just some words on paper. It's something that greatly affects your life. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Like, it really does impact your life when you get laid off in Flint and they tell you to report to Texas in 2 weeks.
Right. Yes. It does. It does. In fact, I remember there was one from Flint who did step up, and he did say it was a bad contract. And Don, I don't know if you were there or if you remember, but the shop chairman was pulled back from the side and was talked to behind the tapestry there or the curtain.
Yeah.
And he came back and he said, whether it's good or bad, we need to pass this contract.
Yeah.
So he was given his direction from international.
Yeah.
Or we're going to close the plant.
Yeah.
They do that frequently too.
That's one of the biggest scare tactics been around for 30 years.
Yeah.
We'll close the plant.
Yeah.
Well, gee, I think if I was to get on Adrian's train for a minute, international union. Well, gee, I don't see UAW down actively working down in Mexico, do I?
No. And, you know, the fallacy of that whole thing is management just closes any plants they want to as long as the union doesn't resist. One of the first locals to roll over and endorse team concept was Pontiac Motors. You know, when they started the Fiero plant, they basically, you know, it was all team concept. Didn't save Fiero. Didn't save Pontiac Motors. It didn't save the Pontiac Foundry. Didn't save any of the parts plants down there. So they've closed locals that resist, and they've closed locals that went with their program. They just don't have any integrity at all.
General Motors will do what General Motors is going to do.
Yeah.
Always have, always will. Now, if I can manipulate you and give me something as I'm closing your door, well, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And shame on you if you're dumb enough to fall for it, which they all have fallen for it.
Yeah. Oh,
look
yeah.
at Lordstown. Look at all the concessions Lordstown took.
Yeah.
Then we announced a closing. It violated our national contract. Instead of calling for a national strike, immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. We go to litigation, then we throw it. We'll throw Fort Wayne into that too, because there's two court cases going on at the same time. We'll throw that in the vote in your contract, and we'll have you cut your own brothers and sisters' heads off.
Yeah, Well, they do the best they can to keep the membership ignorant. That started with Stephen Jokic. That was one of his ploys. Don't tell them anything about the contract. You know, it's like the same thing they're doing in Congress. They want to vote on a bill that's not even written yet.
Right, right.
But if they're going to close a plant, a vote is not going to be what closes the plant. It's going to be the company don't
sure.
want that plant open. It is not going to be your vote that closes that plant.
Well,
that?
The thing, the UAW, the UAW leadership should wake up, but if they don't, the membership should, because the only thing that's going to save plants and jobs is not cooperation but resistance. That van plant that was in the Los Angeles area that General Motors ran for years and wanted to close, what happened was union activists got involved in the community and organized the community and told General Motors if they closed that van plant that they were going to organize a West Coast boycott of General Motors products. And that's what kept that plant operating for a number of years. We don't have that kind of activism anymore. You know, the thing is, you would think that when the union gives up the pension plan and to new workers, health care upon retirement for new workers, and, you know, basically endorses the speed up through, you know, through continuous improvement, have cut the pay in half. This hasn't kept any plants open. You would think that the union would wise up, but they keep falling for the same crap. We need to resist management, not cooperate with them.
That was Van Nuys. That was Van Nuys out there in L.A. and California.
Yep.
They made vans.
Yep.
And, yeah, it kept going until 92.
I think it was 7 years they kept that plant going.
Because they
kept
it going all the years. But look what, like I said, though, look what they did to Lordstown. They interrogated them people for how many years with alternate work schedule, and they put up with all that shit. And after GM used them, abused them, shit on them, worked on them and everything, then they sold us all. Like you said, the union should have stepped in, threw the flag, threw us all out on strike, Ford, GM, and Chrysler. This one, us striking one company shit don't work. Look what's been happening, people.
Yeah.
We ain't got enough of us. We go as a team now. Actually, we should go as a country. We need our own labor party. We don't have nobody negotiating for us at the table because we don't have our own flipping party.
Yeah. Well, the UAW has plainly become a company union. Maybe not in a pure legal sense, but as far as its actual function, it's a company union. It puts the interests of the company above the interests of the workers. You know, they're dedicated. You know, all you have to do is really look at the contract. They're dedicated to helping management save money and improve their bottom line. But the problem is there's no payback for the workers.
And see, that's going to backfire on everybody because really, if you sit there and continue to tell the membership that they have to be viable and competitive with other countries' labor markets and they're whipsawing each country's labor market for the lowest bidder, because these are all global companies. It ain't just North American profits, it's global profits.
Yeah.
So as they're cutting our wages and benefits, then they're asking the local, state, and federal government for tax abatements. And so if they're getting tax abatements and they're cutting our wages and benefits, not just we cannot support a local, state, and federal infrastructure,
right,
but we can't support the local, state, and federal economy neither.
No.
And so they're going to end up killing off their customer base. And only so many car companies are going to end up surviving. They're going to collapse the U.S. dollar, and then we're all going to be losers.
Well, General Motors is chasing customers away. They've been doing it for years. You know, they don't want to build a small car. You know, it's just that to me, that's like being a supermarket that doesn't want to sell milk because you don't make money on milk.
Right.
You stop selling milk, people are going to stop coming to your store. And General Motors does not want to make small cars. The thing is, there's a lot of money being made in small cars right now. It's being made by Honda, Toyota, and Nissan, and General Motors customers. You know, they jam through that market away.
General Motors have most of their employee base in China, and ain't they building a lot of small cars there?
Yep.
Yeah. And they want to eventually import them here, but they got to find the right legislators or president that'll buy into the idea. But,
well, they already are, Paul.
Yeah.
They already are. They're bringing in Cadillacs and Buicks right now.
Yeah. Can somebody help me with this question? My question to you is this: there are only 150,000 active auto workers out of, we'll say, 500,000 members. Where are those other 350,000 members? We can't just be concerned about auto. Where
right,
are those other 350,000? You know, we keep going around in circles just talking about auto.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't let us separate them like that no more. That until we get the rough amendment and get one vote, we can't look at it. I understand what you're saying, sister.
Mm-hmm.
But they've already put John Deere, Caterpillar, and all the other ones, the teachers and all, and the casinos, they're all in our loop. I agree with you. Where is the
That's total
not,
members.
Supposed to
right.
either be, I thought you were supposed to be either agricultural or aerospace. I don't
that's
see where being a teacher or a college or anything else, or and no offense.
State worker.
Exactly.
Well, they've organized those workers because they failed in their core industries. They failed to stand. They bought in the idea of cooperation, and instead of putting a chicken in every pot like it was supposed to, all it meant was massive worker elimination program and plant closing. So they've been forced to organize in these other areas. I ask this question
yep. because you don't think that the auto worker is becoming extinct?
Yeah.
Well, we are. Or at least our leadership is cooperating in our demise.
That is correct.
You know, I can tell you, I'm just an old-fashioned auto worker. When they tried to add work to my job or get me to produce more, they had a fight on their hands. I didn't tell them no. I just showed them no.
And that's what you're supposed to do, show them.
That's what we should do, but we're being trained, the workforce is being trained to be passive and accept any crap management wants to lay on them. It's been going on for 30 years.
Right, and what have they done with Fort Wayne and Flint? We have reopened a closed factory in Canada.
Yeah.
And they are going to be only the overflow plant for light-duty and heavy-duty trucks.
Yeah.
Come on now. Everybody put your thinking caps on for a minute and think about it. Yeah, there ain't going to be much more overtime at Fort Wayne and Flint once Oshawa gets running full speed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's an opinion. I think that's a pretty factual statement.
Well, it's just something a thinking man would realize.
Now, because of the current administration that we have now, I think those tariffs have been removed. But if you would have had to bring in from Canada, wouldn't they would have had to pay a tariff on all those trucks coming back in the United States because they weren't built here?
No, they waived that. Actually, that was part of the separation agreement with the UAW and the other union and GM and Chrysler, I believe. Dick tried to explain that it's crazy, but no, there is no tariff between our two borders.
Right.
Okay.
On auto. Let me rephrase that. Let me back up. On auto. Wait a minute.
On auto.
Sorry.
Because if you produce those vehicles in Canada and they come back down the United States, you're still going to have to ship them. That's still going to be cost of logistics. But it's cheaper, I guess, cheaper than labor, though, right?
Well, they really don't care about all those additional costs. They just focus on labor. Their goal really is to make the auto worker virtually extinct.
Well, if I remember right, there's no tier two, one worker left there. They made sure of that before they opened it. So it's already tier two in a lot of Thompson. They're getting a hell of a benefit that way. And then to finish the bang for the buck over there, remember, they don't have to provide any, absolutely no health care.
Right.
Wow.
Even if you're injured in the plant there, the government
crazy.
Picks up that expense.
That's right. And I think that was part of why they don't have health care for tiers and in progression when they retire. Because
exactly. They
believe that at that time, when the time comes, they will have universal health care here.
The government will provide that. So
yes.
if you're in Canada and you're talking negotiations, health care isn't even part of the negotiations at all.
No, it's not.
So you're totally
even if you look at a universal health care though. The fact is, it's not correcting the issue. If they're not going to put caps on pharmaceuticals, hospitals, and health insurers on how much they can charge, even if they come out with universal health care, your taxes are going to continue to rise because they're not putting a cap on these insurers and hospitals and pharmaceuticals.
Yep. Right.
But
right.
I know that they have some kind of cap over in Canada.
Yes, they do. Why do you think?
Because the drugs there are cheaper than here.
Right.
Okay,
and for the workers, they make more money over there than we make over here.
Yeah, their cost of living is higher.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing is, too, here in the United States, when you look at the fact that, you know, they're putting temps on every particular job out there, and they're only temps, but they're putting them on full-time jobs,
mm-hmm.
and they're preventing top seniority people for signing up to these jobs, and they're trying to circumvent seniority rights so they can get these tier ones out and basically fill these plants with tier two. And then eventually, because they keep telling us we got to be viable and competitive, they're going to bring in a tier three to push out tier two.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
One of the reasons management wanted to get rid of job classifications was so they could throw the high seniority worker on the line and beat him up till they left.
Yeah.
And the union was complicit in it.
Well, not just that. The other thing is they came out with these specialty classifications. And those are divisive, very divisive.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're basically using our people as pawns, and they're riding the fence between the union and management, and they're causing much division and undermining the membership by doing that. And the alternative work schedules was designed to get rid of time and a half after 8, and it was designed to keep the membership from organizing.
Oh, sure.
I have a question for you guys, because I had a friend just come back from Black Lake, and then listening to this young lady blew my mind. But in thinking about where she was going, she goes, there isn't many tier twos if you think about it. During those years, Ford, Chrysler, and GM, we weren't doing a hell of a lot of hiring.
No.
And then along came 15, 16, and 17. Then came this temporary bullshit. Then they loaded up like you know what. So she goes at Black Lake. They're kind of leading them to believe that they're going to be offering some huge buyouts to get rid of what new tier two are left. And then they're going to use for a bargaining chip. They're going to try and get everybody back as one, but at a lot lower pay scale than what the tier two would even be getting. Not the legacy, They've already wiped us off. You might as well consider they got flowers on my flipping grave, Scott. Yours too. Because they don't care about us no more. We're we're a bad memory in management's mind. Because remember, we cost them money because we were good union people. Not saying these people aren't, but we had good leaders and we had people. Well, we went to our union meetings. We followed our constitution and we held them to it. That's all we did different than what goes on today, if you want to know the true people, and we didn't send the same asshole to the convention every time.
Well,
amen.
We're a bad memory to the union leadership, too, Jim. It's not just to management. They have solidly bought into management's agenda. They give management anything they want. And the only thing we get in return is joint funds money, more and more appointed jobs.
Exactly. If there's one thing I hope this show has done more than anything, if we can't change the way things are, like I told you, temps, get involved in your local. Use discrimination. If their kids can go there, you can too. You got every damn right to reach for that cloud. Use their game against them. I mean, that's terrible how they – we were too stupid to see how they were getting their kids there, but now we know the game. Yeah, they can – We can get them to the, you know, region.
So wait a minute, Jim. Can you just explain what you just said one more time about what that...
They
that,
get their kids hired. They get their children hired in.
No.
We all know this. Then they get one of their friends to pull them over to the region on special assignment.
Yes.
Once they get there... They got to do their 90 days. It's not 90 days. I think it's like 6 months or something, ain't it, Scott? Then
you're in good standing.
Then the international reaches down and puts them on special assignment. The minute that happens, now they're up to legacy pay. And
that's if they're a tier. They hire in as a tier worker temp. Yeah.
They hired in as a temp. They hired in as a temp.
Okay, so how unfair is that for other people?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Use it as discrimination against them. If you ain't good enough, their kids aren't either, people. You're not stupid. Just fight for your rights instead of giving every god darn thing up we have.
Well, let's go back to what you said about what the Gail said that just came from Black Lake about the restructuring and all that. Still trying to wrap my head around that.
There is not a lot of numbers in tier two because through those years, the auto companies were hurting in the early 2000s. Think about it. The last legacy worker, I believe, was what, 2007, Scott?
Correct.
Okay, so think about that. Everybody hired in after 2007. Falls into this gap, but there ain't a lot of people there. The auto company was struggling through there. Hell, you had a bankruptcy and all that shit through there. Then I did a 9-year, you know, voluntary layoff, call it whatever the fuck you want for 9 years. I don't care. Discharge, I don't care. Umpire decision, it's the truth. But they weren't doing a lot of hiring there.
Right.
So there's not a lot of employees there. She's saying now they're acting like what? They're going to buy them out, offer them early buyouts. Okay, once they get rid of them, then you got all the different tiers, and there's, what, 6 levels of tiers in GM alone and possibly 2 more that I'm thinking are there. So, and they want to pull all them together under one pay scale, but think, if you take all those pay scales, you're going from $19 to, what is it, $13.99 to $19 an hour. So if you pull that toward the middle, you're going to be somewhere at $16 an hour.
Basically, they're going to be working for the pay that's less than a fast food worker.
Well, yes. If you think I'm lying, if they think I'm lying, Google Ford Woodhaven hot metal stamping agreement, and it point blank, they left the dollar amount out because it says their contract for new hires coming in the door will be 50 cents higher than the state's minimum wage. That's the language of the contract. Wake up, people.
And the thing that's really sad about it, it hasn't created any jobs. It hasn't maintained any jobs. So you really wonder, what is the goal of our union leadership, really?
What was that again?
What I'm saying is, so you got to wonder what our union leadership's actual goals are, because all these giveaways has not kept any factories open. It's not led to insourcing of work. It hasn't led to anything fruitful. We got contracts that are more and more complicated so that union and management can interpret them any way they want to interpret them. It used to be contracts were pretty simple and straightforward.
Yes. Yes.
Like, you know, if you filed a paragraph 78 work speed up grievance, you knew what the program was.
Right.
There was one thing I was looking for at Dangens all this time, and I prayed I'd find it. He told me he did it. Was he took and added all the numbers up from General Motors around the world and Ford from around the world. He took the numbers from 1970 and the numbers from 2005. If we had all the jobs that were added over there and brought them back home versus the numbers we lost, he goes, we would have probably actually gained employment numbers in this country. But because, quote, we globalized, which increased their profits, because in most cases where they're going, their wages are a hell of a lot cheaper than we are here, as we well know. They made more money. And then, like Brian pointed out, then they turn around and use us over here for a tax write-off on our government to make us, I don't know, to me that's degrading our own country. If you're making money in this country and you can't pay the tax here, shame on you, get the hell out, I'll buy another product. I'm sorry.
Well, they can't pay the taxes, but it's all about lining the shareholders' pockets. I mean, when Fiat Chrysler Automotive merged with PSA and we became Stellantis, they made $44 billion in global revenue. Can you imagine what the profits of that $44 billion in revenue was?
Unbelievable.
These are global companies. So they can sit there and talk about North American losses all day, but the things that they're not pointing out is what are their global profits. And then they're sitting there telling the local, state, and federal government that we'll move these businesses, these plants out of here unless you give us a local, state, and federal tax abatement. So not just are lowering our wages and our benefits, but it's our tax dollars. We're making up the difference in taxes that they're not paying on a local, state, and federal level.
Here, here.
And that's why they're able to build these plants all over the world.
Right. Just like two plants that come exactly to mind what you're saying, and the reference to would have been Spring Hill, Tennessee, and Lansing Delta. They paid for the perks. They had all the water, the gas lines. They had everything set up for these plants to come in. And on the promise that they were going to hire a majority of their workforce locally, what happens? They open these plants, and they bring a bunch of transplants in from all over. And that's fine, too, because we had union brothers and sisters laid off waiting to get a job because their job's been sent down to Mexico or China. But the local politicians didn't say a whole lot when that happened after all these taxes we've been given out. And here we are with a big workforce from all over the United States coming into these two new plants.
Well, not just that. I mean, look at like Belvedere, for instance. You know, they went down to one shift. And
yep.
So the ones that were on the off shifts got transferred over to Mac and everything else. And they came over there with day one seniority because they're – Belvedere has never closed, so they didn't leave
right.
A closed plant seniority. So that means
top seniority people got shipped over there to Mac, and they're going to be the first ones to get laid off.
Yep. And they got the most time. Go figure that one out, right?
Yep.
Well, you know, another thing that I've thought about over the years is our union is so concerned about issues like discrimination, like they should be, but they've done nothing to fight management strategy of closing plants in inner city areas that had a high minority population and building plants in basically in white suburbs like Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's really basically it's something they should have fought and didn't. It had a had a great impact on inner cities and minority populations. You look at the unemployment rate in inner city Flint and Detroit and some of these large cities where they've moved their manufacturing out of those cities. I mean, nobody seemed to want to take that on.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that they should have fought for, and they didn't. And the fact that, you know, after the whole bankruptcy situation of them getting a hold of GM and Chrysler stock, raising our union dues from 2 hours to 2.5 hours just to turn around and tell us we couldn't strike because they were holding GM and Chrysler stock, and they didn't want to see the stocks go down.
Yeah.
So, you know, between that, building the cottage for Dennis Williams using non-union skilled skilled trades, everything that the Solidarity House has done so far has not just violated the membership, but violated the UAW Constitution. Just like Article 49 tells you about elected officials or any official that's in a position not to harass people and force them to vote a particular way on a tentative agreement. But every tentative agreement that comes up, no matter what company you work for, you got the Solidarity House and you got the local leadership threatening people and telling them how to vote.
Coercion.
Yeah. Well,
they're
in violation of their own constitution. But the membership keep going along with it, and nobody's coming together. You know, when you look at the fact that retirees hadn't received any increase in their pension, they lost COLA, they lost the Christmas bonus, just like active workers did, and the fact that two-tier don't get a pension or health care when they retire, and temps don't get nothing, meaning we all have lost something, and we all got something to gain by coming together. But the problem is nobody wants to come together. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing, and basically everybody's self-serving for the most part.
Well, management has played the divide-and-conquer game for years, but the union picked up on it. The union itself stays in power by dividing people. They fully understand. They knew what was going to happen when Team Concept came into plant. They knew if they gave a group leader, team leader, whatever you want to call them, management responsibilities, they'd start to think like a foreman, and many of them would treat their coworkers worse than a foreman would. And they also fully understood that bringing multiple tiers into a plant would divide people. Our union leaders want to stay in power. That's their greatest goal. To them, it's a career path.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. Just in 4 years, we went from Dennis Williams, Gary Jones, Rory Gamble, and now Ray Curry. And they're all grabbing a pension.
Yeah.
Just in 4 years within the UAW. And you know how much that's going to cost the membership? I mean, we're the one paying for those pensions and their health care.
Yeah.
The golden health care. Their health care better than ours. With Master Medical, man. I mean, they get dentures if they want. Hell, they can even get the pump.
Right.
Well, they bargained the best for themselves. While they were helping management lower the standard of living for their members, they were stuffing their own pockets with cash.
They didn't have to bargain that. They just made it so.
Well, they bargained joint funds, and joint funds is one of the mechanisms they use.
Okay.
What was it? $35 million that management sent to Solidarity House a few months ago. Is that the figure?
Say that again.
What are joint funds supposed to be for?
Well, it's supposed to be for education and training and all that stuff. But what it is, it pays.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you what
it
was supposed to be for. It's supposed to be for education and training.
Yeah.
So why aren't there any educational programs or training going on for UAW members?
Because they don't want you to wise up. They don't want you to understand your rights or what's really going on.
Well, my other question is, why hasn't the Solidarity? I mean, they keep saying, okay, well, we can't negotiate for retirees, but I haven't seen them negotiate an increase for the active workers that still have a pension. So when's the last time the active workers have gotten an increase for their pension? So when they retire, they can keep up with inflation.
It was that 2003 or 2007 contract.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's the last time.
But here's what they can do. They can bargain with management to finance buyouts and early retirements out of our pension fund. They can't increase pensions, but they can spend hundreds of millions of dollars out of that pension fund to help management get rid of workers.
Yeah,
here.
I figure if management wants to get rid of workers, let them pay the bill. Don't take it out of the pension fund. Look at how mad they want to get rid of people if it costs them something.
Right.
I think management's stupid because there's a lot of people that retired in 30 years or so that would have worked 40. And I'll tell you, I've been retired for 12 years, and they've gotten zero productivity out of me. I've done nothing to increase management's bottom line. But if I'd been actively working for 12 years, I would have been doing something to earn a profit for them.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
You know, they say that this isn't a negotiable issue when it comes to pensions. It's false. Like Adrian said, it was 2011 was the last time there was an increase in the pension funding for the retirees. They can negotiate that for future. You may not be able to go back and readjust for past. For future contracts, you could. You could
Correct.
Do that. And they haven't done that. They haven't done that for three contracts now. It's been stagnant.
They
if
can
I was
bargain
retired,
for anything they want in that back room.
Absolutely.
If they want to bargain that retirees get a Christmas bonus, we can get a Christmas bonus.
I agree.
It's not their priority because we don't vote on contracts anyway. And most people retire and never step foot in the union hall again other than to see a benefits rep.
Right. Well, some people have a bad taste of the union in their mouth and they don't want to go back.
Yeah. That's it.
You know, and rightfully so.
Like
know?
Everybody who's retired in the last dozen years or so, the vast majority of them despise their union.
Yeah.
Because they spent the last years of their union career fighting with the union to maintain some dignity in the workplace.
Right. You know, when I talk to my dad who retired back in the early 90s, when I tell him what's going on, he just can't believe it. He thinks almost like I'm making this up, like
yeah.
it's a story.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad went through the 68 strike.
He went through the 72 strike. They did a wildcat strike in 1970. My dad was like the sixth one out the door. They fired, as they were taking pictures, they fired the first 20 to 30 people out the door. They fired them. They all got the jobs back.
Yeah.
Very quickly, but it was a wildcat strike.
Right.
They walked out because of the conditions, and then, and what people understand, if are they illegal? Yeah. Were they illegal then? Absolutely they were. But what a wildcat strike does do is it forces management and international to come together and find out what's going on to resolve the issue at that local.
That's it.
And they, that's something they don't like doing, because when that happens, they know that their workforce and their union members are upset at them. So
yeah.
They have come together. They can't pull some kind of shenanigans
right.
over the workers' eyes.
In the early 70s, we had a union that knew how to apply pressure to management and was willing to do it. I don't think many of our current generation actually know how to do it. And if
right.
they do, they don't want to anyway. They have
like
an entirely different agenda than the leadership of the, you know, late 60s and early 70s.
Right. I mean, Walter May didn't get, in my opinion, they didn't get killed until late of 72, wasn't it? September of 72?
Somewhere between 70 and 72. I don't remember exactly when it was. I remember hearing about it on the news.
Right.
I think it was around 70, because I was still in high school, I believe, when it happened.
You're right. It was 70. I apologize.
Yeah.
So that 68 strike, my dad went out. He went out underneath. He went out under Reuther.
Yeah. Well,
with strike.
Victor Reuther, you know, I remember talking to him. He said that they felt that it was Walter Reuther's own people that killed him off.
Well, that could have been.
Because it was a pretty suspicious thing.
Oh, it was
and
very suspicious.
After Walter Reuther was gone, we started our slow slide toward being a company union. It's very lucrative and easy if you cooperate with a company. If you fight them, it's a long, tough battle.
Right, right. It's a drawn-out battle.
Yep.
Yeah. Sometimes it's worth it, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you have to do that.
Yep.
You know? What did... You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'll quote Spock from one of the Star Trek movies. The need of the many outweigh the need of the few.
Right.
The easiest way isn't always the best way.
Right. You know, and I'll quote Billy Connolly. Times may change, but standards must remain.
Right.
You know, so has our standard, our bar, has slid so far south that a toddler can step over it?
The only
we no longer have
that,
one.
The only reason why that's happened, Scott, is we lost cost of living and AIF. If we had had them two things, we'd be up there on the top of the pay scale. I mean, but we lost those things. People don't understand what cost of living did. Right now with what's going on in the United States, you're going to get a good taste of it, I'm sorry to say.
Well,
right.
The sad thing, we didn't lose anything, Jim. We gave it all away. It was
given
away at the bargaining table. We didn't. That's the thing that gets me. It's not like we went on a six-month strike and we lost. We just gave up. All right. Our leaders did. And our membership followed them.
What gets me about it is when I get out my big, now I don't have a Black Laws Dictionary, and maybe that's where I'm faulting here, but they use the word concession. When I look that up, it says something I give up and I get back. it's been five decades. When am I getting this shit back, or is that for my grandkids to think about?
I tried to explain that before. Anytime you extend a contract, okay, you had concessions. Your contract ends September 29th. But once you extend it, that extends those concessions. They never give those concessions back because the concession didn't expire. It was extended.
Extended or added upon?
No, it was extended.
I understand what you're saying, but then when the new contract comes in, that should kill those extensions. But you're saying then they get added out of the new contract?
What I'm saying is that they're supposed to re-bargain for those.
And they must just keep extending them behind our backs. That must be one of them pork chops that I got our dinners or something. I don't know. A lot of it is beyond my disbelief that people aren't asking these questions, and more importantly, why haven't me and many other ones? I've been asking for 20 years now, but I'm just a little horse in a big pile of shit, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, they know what they're doing there. That's why they have all those lawyers on staff.
Exactly.
Because they know what they're doing with that.
UAW, and they've all worked with them, so they got some type of affiliation. Or I had one telling me the other day he's on an annual retainer with them, so he can't take anybody that talks bad about the UAW. But I asked him, I said, well, when is the last time you did a case? And he says, I've never done a case, but they give me money for 7 years.
That's correct. That's why it's hard to find a lawyer.
That's what I'm saying.
If they don't have them on retainer, the companies had a lawyers on retainer.
Right. Can't fight. If you can't beat them, join them, right?
Well, yeah, I was trying to go back after that $65,000 that I lost, you know, under that deal with the contract, and now I'm finding there's a lot of people that decided after this contract was passed, most of them were some type of DAC 46 appointee, are now retiring right now and getting that $65,000. That they gave out to retire for a contract expense, you know, they only gave that for 2,000 people, but they didn't get 2,000 people to initially sign up. So
right.
Now they're filling that up with their dog and pony people, let's say, that were, like I said, I know three DAC 46 people, Scott, that have gotten it in the last 2 months.
Wow.
You know. And they did what they were supposed to do. They stuck around, got the contract passed. That was their job and goal. You know,
right.
In fact, two of them did go up to, they didn't go to Black Lake, went somewhere over by Metro Airport is where they sold the contract out and told them what locals they would be going to. I guess they were told where to go and when to go.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. None of these people were anywhere near their homes. I don't know if it was they weren't identifiable or what. I think that would have been more of the reason to do it that way.
I'd like to get some of those names. Because that's over by my way.
Yeah, well, like
yeah,
I said, that's...
They
don't live over that way. Don't get me wrong. That's where they went and got their training to sell the contract and to how to sell it.
Right. They used to. We used to go down to the Joe Louis Arena, and they'd do a rollout, and
they would then take a vote from the local chairman and some of the affiliates and the locals as to whether they would buy that contract or not. And very seldom do they get opposition. And now they're not doing it because the Joe is gone now. Right?
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
They're not doing it because they're not going to get any opposition anyway.
Right.
If you are a chairman or a union president or a financial secretary and you want to move up to the international staff, you don't get there by kicking the program.
No. No resistance is to be offered. That is correct.
Right. I mean, that's the problem with the one-party system. We have the same kind of system in the UAW that Putin has in Russia.
Yeah, mile or the highway.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing I've asked Casey to look at that he's so good in these 990s. How many of these local guys are showing up after the fact on the 990s for international special assignment? There's no way in hell that me and you or anybody else on this show would know unless we got somebody that can knows how to read those 990s because that's the only place they show up. What's sad about that is they're 2 years old by the time they're printed.
Right. Some are a year old. You're right. And we're not talking about the LM2s. We're talking about the 990s. The 990s is where the late Teresa Dodge worked with me with an afternoon. That's where he found out that the people from Solidarity House, the regional reps, the vice presidents, the presidents, were all getting paid to be honorary members of the VEBA Trust Board. And they still are.
How much does that honor pay?
It was between 90,000 and like 24,000 annually, but
no,
it does
no, vary. No, it's pretty close, but it's a lot of people. You have president made the most, and it has to stay below $30,000 for some goofy law. I don't know what the tax law was. So the president was like $29,800. And then the regional directors were all $27,000 a piece.
Wow, that's just BS.
I can add the BS onto it better. Remember Danjan talked about how they deferred some of their money into a retirement fund?
Right.
That's where this money goes. This money goes in, so they have to pay minimal taxes on it.
Beautiful, beautiful. As they're taking medication away from the retirees, they can't get the good, you know, we can't get certain medications because it costs too much. And they're sitting there
getting
all this money.
Yeah, they just got me again, Don, on that shit. Just got me again 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
they've learned how to function like corporate executives.
Yeah,
well, they're
They've learned how to stuff their own pockets. You know, these CEOs are no longer looking after the interests of the stockholders. They're looking after their own interests. They bargain the best contract they can get for themselves.
Right.
And
wow.
Our union leaders fancy themselves to be, corporate CEOs.
That's fair enough to say. That's fair enough to say. Well, something. Well, we have about 5 minutes left tonight's show. I'm glad Brian come on. I'm glad Paul that you're here. By all means, and Adrian, Jimmy, of course, Don, Carrie, don't forget Carrie. I'm trying to look at a calendar.
They don't have to come on and give us your name, But, man, come on, some of you Vovo people. Come on the show. Talk to us. Don't give us a name. Just tell us what the hell's going down down there. We don't have eyes in there. We need you. You know, just tell us what's going on. We'll give you our 2 cents anyway. Hell, you might even get a dime with me if you get me on the right night.
Would you extend our condolences to Stephanie, please?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
Thank you.
I will do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. She's one of the few that and elected at my local that listens to the show and occasionally comes on. So she did try to fight her case, and it has been lost and has been reviewed at the Public Review Board, and it was shot down a second time. So her appeal was gone. But, yes, I will do that. And
what was her appeal about?
The elections, the timing of the elections.
Oh.
So I think the next show will be August 8th, I believe.
Okay.
So I'm going to put that out, August 8th, 2 weeks.
All right. Can I just say rabble rousers?
Can I say one thing for everybody out there? Make sure that your information, your contact information is up to date so you get a ballot for the one member, one vote.
And that's where at the local?
It's not through labor. It's at your local.
Damn sure they ain't answering one phone in Jefferson. They ain't even returning any letters, even their credit union. I don't know, man. I'm about ready to turn them in.
So that means I say, for instance,
my local. And nobody answered the phone. How crazy is that? That paperwork, and it's out of the Solidarity House, and it should be posted, I would guess.
I was going to ask, did Don or Jimmy get that letter on that? It was dated July the 12th.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't.
So how are the retirees even supposed to know about that letter? I mean, I know about it because I posted it before I got sick. But
Paul,
how are we supposed to even know?
Did Paul get a copy of the letter?
I got nothing.
Oh, Paul, you stood there. Okay, you didn't get anything either, huh?
No.
Wow.
I mean, so how are the retirees?
It's not even posted on my union board at work.
So
no,
really,
it's not posted on my union board at work either.
So real quick, if let's say I'm Paul. Paul needs I need to go down to my local union to make sure they have my current mailing address, correct?
That's what that letter
email.
Well, if it's the union newspaper mailed to you.
Does anybody have a copy of a letter that's on here tonight so somebody can read it so people know what to do?
Right, and I think Andrew is close to that, but what I'm saying, though, is Paul needs to make sure his current mailing address is correct at his local union, correct?
Mm-hmm. I think it's coming out of your local. I don't know about retirees. It's the 28th that says of July. Adrian,
it would include
retirees
because they get the vote on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it includes
Adrian,
the retirees also.
Can
Where
you
do
read
we vote?
That?
At the union hall?
I don't know about where you vote, but I do know that you would have to make sure that all of your information is up to date at your local.
Yeah. Well, I still get the union newspaper mailed to me, so I don't know how they could not have my up-to-date address.
I know that's right.
Yeah, but my point is you didn't get the letter telling you about it, did you?
No.
Which I found to be quite strange.
Kind of strange.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're keeping it all hush hush, you know.
They're keeping you dumb.
Like you had to seek that out.
That's the 28th of July, right?
Correct. Adrian, you got the letter right there?
No, I posted it under the Solidarity Zone 1. I don't know if I posted it under the Solidarity 600. I might have.
I might have a picture of it.
I'll try and find that, and I will go and I will post that on Workers, and I'll send that over to Jimmy too.
Those are Facebook pages.
It's out of the Solidarity House on their letterhead. Ray Curry, president. The letter was dated July 12, 2028, to all UAW members. Greetings. The U.S. District Court recently appointed an independent monitor under the terms of the consent decree entered by court. One of the monitor's responsibility is to administer referendum elections this coming fall 2021. The referendum vote will determine the UAW will keep the current method of electing members to the IEB through the delegate system at constitutional conventions, or whether the method will be changed to a direct election, whereas each UAW member will vote directly to elect the IEB members. The monitor and the IEB are working together to ensure that all eligible members and retired members are eligible to vote. And therefore, it is crucial, that the UAW membership list, including mailing address and email address, are up to date so that everyone may have a voice in the referendum. Accordingly, please immediately update mailing addresses and email addresses with your local union, but no later than Wednesday, July 28, 2021. Should you have any questions, please contact Lewis Help Desk 313-926-4485, IT direct at UAW.net, or the monitor, UAW monitor -election at jenn.com, or 212-303-2529. So it's signed by Ray Curry, president, Frank Scroggins, secretary treasurer, and Neil, I'm going to totally whack this one out, Baranowski, the monitor.
Baranowski.
Just the letter.
Well, all we need to do is remind people that the current system produced 15 jailbirds. Do we want to continue that system?
Yeah.
No. Hell no.
Right.
I agree.
Hell no.
Good night to you, rabble rousers.
Good night.
2 weeks.
Good night.
See you in 2 weeks. Yep. Good night.
Okay. Night.
Good night, Gary.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Jack, don't be calling or writing me about Gary's voice being sexy. Although she did read and talk a lot to me, I don't need to read.
Yeah, I'm starting to have the same problems, Donna. I'm starting to have the same problems.
His girl's writing in about Jimmy too, but this guy loves Terry. I mean, I get an email about once a week from this guy wanting to talk to Carrie. Wants me to set this whole thing up.
Well, tell him to come on the show.
I told you.
He can talk to me directly.
Yes, come in and pledge your love.
Spread the joy.
Adrian gets emails, but I tell him, you know, Adrian's husband spanks her every time she does this show. Right after the show ends, Adrian's husband puts a little bruise on her butt.
That's funny.
That's the truth. went live. You haven't been laid in God knows how long you have been, you know. we do feel bad for you.
Well, thank you.
Don't start crying, Scott. You know.
No.
Sound like you're about to fall. Well, you know, you guys know a Larry Williams at Local 600.
Larry Williams, why does that sound familiar to me?
I don't know. He sent.
I don't know that one.
He played. He sent this song. Wanted me to play it, and I did. It's the.
The one that just played at the beginning.
Yeah, I've been reading about it. This guy's 84 years old, and he's got like Bozo the Clown hair. He's bald on top, and he's got white hair. It's right out around, you know, like a horseshoe. And I told him I'd play it again. So just hang tight, guys. You can listen as we go out.
This girl, she's just great. This girl I just adore. The problem is, she has much more than I had bargained for. She's got that style. She's got that smile. She's got the walk. She's got the talk. She's got that zing. There's just one thing. She's got a penis. She's got that flair. Knows what to wear. She's got that face. That girlish grace. She's got pizzazz. Too bad she has a penis. Now there's always some failure, always some flaw. Ain't that what they call Murphy's Law? But male genitalia, that's where I draw the line. Besides, hers is bigger than mine. My life's a mess, cause under that dress, she's got a P-E-N-I-S. Yes.
All right. 84 years old, he wrote that song, and there you go.
Wow.
All of Carrie's fans.
So many.
Jack, she might have a penis. I don't know. We don't know.
No, I don't.
No.
I'm good. I'll interfere.
I'm trying to think who won. Some transvestite or whatever the hell you call them won something, a beauty contest, and it was a guy, you know. He sure did look good, I have to admit.
The cover of Sports Illustrated.
Is that what it was? It was.
No,
yes.
It was the Miss USA or something like that, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the cover of Sports Illustrated, I just got the Sports Illustrated.
First transgender, yes.
Yep.
No, okay, transgender. There you go. And for all you people watching the Olympics, they had the men, well, no, the women's weightlifting. And, of course, the guy that playing as a woman won and broke the record. There's a record that's been there for 9 years, and he shattered it, or she shattered it. Yeah. And to me, that's not fair. I'm sorry. I don't know how you guys play your games, but you don't wreck the women's sports. They work hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
They work too hard to get some guy to come in there and blow them away, like in track and field, wrestling down in Texas. This gal made it all the way twice, 2 years in a row, the same guy, well, girl, beat her for the state championship both times. So.
Wow.
Well, anyway, that's enough of that. You all have a great week, couple weeks. We'll be back. If anything happens, get in touch. We'll do a show. whatever you guys want to
do.
We'll
do.
Yes.
Okay.
Here. Have a good night, everyone.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Go get your spanking there, Adrian, and tell Mr.
Well,
Adrian.
Remember, I'm on bed rest.
Yeah, well, that's where he wants you to be, in the bed.
Yeah, okay, you got that right.
I hope you feel better, Adrian. I hope you feel better. Be well.
I got to do this for 4 to 6 weeks, so.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, honey.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. But you take care of yourself. Just take it slow.
I am. I'm getting stronger every day.
Good.
There you go. Feel better soon.
Thank you.
Your husband called me, told me he's tired of wiping your butt, so hurry up and get well.
I know that's right. But you know, the good thing about it is I taught him how to do it. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah, good for you.
Hey, guys. Adrian's playing along with me, and that scares the hell out of me. I used to get her goat. Now she's getting my goat. Damn.
That a girl.
Harry, you go get Adrian, you stay in bed and put your legs up. The old man will go to town on you. Scott,
that's right. You know, me and the girl close to bed, so it works out.
Scott, you go masturbate because that's all you're getting tonight. And everybody have a good night. Jimmy, if you're still with us, you'd be good. Be safe.
Jim's
everybody.
Got 5 days. He's got 5 days. Well, 6 days.
6 days, yeah.
Six
we
days.
Need to buy, wish I knew a hooker. We have a little party for him. You know, not to do anything, but to dance.
Right.
Well, that would
I
be
had a supervisor.
Stripper, not a hooker.
Hey, I had a supervisor, and his wife was a stripper, a dancer, and we hired this woman. We didn't know that was her, you know, we didn't know that she was married to the supervisor, and he dropped her off, and we seen him, and he waved to us like nothing's going on. She came in, just dropped her drawers and went to town. I said, Jesus. He picked her up 3 hours later. He told us, we'll see you at work. Yeah, I guess you will. I seen everything you can get tonight, bro. I seen everything. Damn. I seen all the way up to her throat, to her leg, and that's all I needed. Yeah, she was a hell of a dancer. And strange. This strange. People are strange. She made a lot of money, though, so I guess that's what they would. All right, guys. Have a good one. You be good, Scott. Take care of yourself. And Carrie, Adrian, be good.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you in
you
about
too, Don.
All right, sweetie.
Good night,
good
Don.
Good night. Good night. Good night.